As I finished these notes, a large metal cabinet 3 feet high with 9 file drawers vanished from alongside of my desk. I called this cabinet my bric-a-brac drawers, because it contained hundreds of little objects that I treasure: jewelry, coins, stamps, special documents, awards, mementos, and leather goods such as billfolds. Everything that was personal or precious was there. So its disappearance was a loss, but I was pleased at this counter-signature of intelligence and power. We searched the house to see if it was on the premises. The last place I looked was in my second floor bedroom, and there it was, neatly placed alongside my bedside bookshelves. I searched it. Everything had survived the transformation without obvious change. There was only one thing missing: a gold Parker pen that had great sentimental value to me. At 3:45 p.m. I returned to my study, where I found Uri doodling at my desk. I looked at what he had just doodled. It was a set of very advanced tensor equations describing the nature of the gravitational field. Uri did not know what he had just doodled, and he asked me where this came from. Since I recognize the equations as being of the form written by Albert Einstein, I replied, almost facetiously, "Einstein." As I said this, there appeared a piece of paper on the floor some 10 feet away from me. I walked over to pick it up. It was a newspaper photo of Albert Einstein. I remembered seeing such a photo in the New York Times magazine some 10 years earlier. I had clipped it out but had not seen it for several years. At this vantage point I was looking at my bed across the hall from where I was standing. In front of my eyes there had appeared a book on the white bedspread. I walked over to examine it. It was a book I had last seen in the basement. It was by Edwin F. Taylor and John Archibald Wheeler, entitled Space-Time Physics, published by W. H. Freeman and Company in 1963. I looked through it carefully, but the equations that Uri had doodled were not in this book, although the general subject matter was there. Throughout all this activity I had left the 9 pens on my blotter pad intact, spelling out the word "why." I returned to my study with Uri, holding the book. As we approached the desk, right in front of our eyes the 9 pens flipped simultaneously in the air and settled down into a new pattern as follows. Though I did not understand the symbolism or meaning of the configuration, this is a picture of the pattern in which the pens lay, and which cannot be displayed in an audiobook, and first is 6 pens next to each other, and 3 pens that formed an equilateral triangle. Can be interpreted as symbol of the 6 cosmic main energies, and the triangle is a symbol of the living being and its 3 eternal parts, interpreted from Martinus cosmology. Rune, comment. Last in this chapter was a poem of Edgar Allan Poe, 1829. Thy will is done, O God. The star hath ridden high through many a tempest, but she rode beneath thy burning eye, and here, in thought, doth thee dash in thought that can alone ascend thy empire and so be a partner of thy throne. Dash by winged fantasy, my embassy is given, till secrecy shall knowledge be in an environs of heaven. Appendix 1. The 9. This is a continuation of the philosophy of the 9, introduced on page 15. CH is a principle which is the revealing principle of knowledge and law. CH is the principle of timeless knowledge as revealed through the time process. R is the principle of art and rhythm. M is the principle of the human and intimate. The language, the method, and the logic, that belongs to this body or brain, Vinod, that we use. CH presses the buttons and releases the forces. We strive to bring about the required correlation, which is to say, it is an explicit fulfillment of our purpose that we are meeting here tonight. This is a planned performance. Planned to the minutest moment. If the velocity of light is approached to 99%, the increase in the mass is in the range of 7. This is one of the physical proofs of why we want 7s. Perhaps you have not noticed this before. App, no, I haven't. That is partly an inference from Einsteinian analysis light velocity. Even though this 7 range, it is not exactly 7, but it is the range of 7, it does not go beyond 8. It doesn't go beyond 6, but it hits around 7 and such microscopic aspects of velocity. If 7 can be so perfectly determined, you will notice why the 7 has been detected even in the physical as well as psycho-spiritual dimensions. The acceptance of the law of 7. Now? That's a clue which will keep you absolutely convinced, and you will not ask me again what is the rationale of 7. If we tell you that it is the occult number and the 7 chords of being as known in ancient occult literature, you will continue to have a veil of suspicion. But now that the increment in the mass is exactly to the range of 7 by an approximation of 99% to the velocity of light, that is a kind of indicator how mass is related to higher velocity. Related in this way, that it achieves an increment of 7 achieves an increment to 7, not of 7. Beyond 99% we cannot go because it becomes infinitization, as you know. App, yes, that's what I was going to ask you, whether the change in increment beyond 99% becomes enormous rather rapidly? Yes. It approaches infinity between 99 and 100%? Yes, now these are only theoretical indications. We cannot really go on with experimentation in this direction, but if we get 7 times the electrical equivalent of a human body, if we get it 7 times, do you know what would result? It would result in 7 of the mass of electricity. That's a very strange term, but it's true. If it gains 7-fold, corresponding approximation to light velocity will be 99%. That is the point where human personality has to be stretched in order to achieve infinitization. This is one of the most secret insights. Our problem now boils down to this: how to get the human body 7 times what it is in electrical terms. One more tremendous secret. Copper is a phenomenon which succeeds in giving half of 7 resultant to human body particular. That is why your copper cage succeeds. Tremendous secret. That is why the idea of a copper cage is so revolutionary, so enormous in its possible effects on parapsychological effort. Somewhere, somehow, we have to now work out the cosmic ray properties. We don't know where it can be done, but it has to be done very urgently because that will determine the next phase of actual human life, consciousness, unfoldment, and evolutional process. The atomic fission or fusion is expected to facilitate human comfort, if it does not just result in the elimination of all life on Earth. But a more important source of facilitating human comfort is the exploitation of the cosmic ray. App, will you define what you mean by cosmic ray? That is what we are worrying about. App, I mean define it simply. I will say that cosmic ray is the channelized direction, rather than directed channelization of the basic energy that constitutes the essence of cosmos. That is the definition of it. App, I don't believe that that is what is meant by cosmic rays in a physics book. Yes, it is in a slightly different way. To our view, the cosmic ray energy is more fundamental than the solar systems themselves. App, may I ask if the formula and its undetected implications implies the discovery of as yet undiscovered energies? No, I must admit one hint. Just as there is a time dimension, there is a timeless dimension toward which Einstein is groping. A hint as to the method: the leap is not in the dark, but in the light, which could be taken. Take what I say only as a proposition or axiom. The fact of every knowledge experience is timeless, although the act of knowing is in time. To experience knowledge is a timeless experience. We have to discover a formula which will illustrate the correlation between the act of knowing and knowledge. The spotlight of consciousness is something so tremendously powerful. This spotlight of consciousness is a sunlight by itself. App, do you mean it has the growth power of sunlight? Yes. We make it grow, we make it live, we illuminate it. App, you started to elucidate the leap in the dark. Yes, we use the phrase leap in the dark, which is common, but here the leap is in the light because it is expected to take us to an understanding of the supersense. It is light because it is the consciousness problem, not just subconscious or normal conscious inclusive of the superconscious which is the light per se. Perhaps you can understand the beautiful phrase. Then the following poem was given by M. Shadows are receding in a slower rhythm. The song is bursting out of every atom. In the rainbow hues the multiple one is dissolving itself. The thrill of surprised happiness is coursing through the veins of the earth. The translunar dream is incarnating itself through the bones of the body. A teardrop from the human eye becomes starlight in the darkness of the night and the silver dew on the cheek of the new morning, and itself again reappears on the horizon of the human creativeness, as an immortal moment of discovery. Through a series of labor in time, God is the timeless birth and mart of human aspiration. Remember, all this is a real guidance from God. God is nobody else than we together, the nine principles of God. There is no God other than what we are together. And just for once in your lifetime, believe this to be the truth. If God ever spoke, if God ever made an instrument of a human being, it is now that He has made it, and look upon this as the most precious moment in your lives. These are God's words. You see, the procedure is this. We accept the thesis that we are here and that we want these are things done. We can do them through you. You have also to struggle, we have also to struggle. Supposing all healthy biologic events surround the birth of a child, it will take 9 months and it will take mating. The greatest of men were not born in an instant. All the birth pangs that any other mother would undergo, their mother had to undergo, too. But the point is this: supposing tonight I sit down here, which is perfectly possible, I can sit here for 1 hour and tell you what is going to happen to the minutest detail, how often you are going to sneeze, how often you will sit. That can be done, but it is not the way to do it. What you are doing is just the right thing. Struggling a little, getting creative imagination into exertion, awaiting a certain little point for guidance. We are satisfied that every step is being taken in intense sincerity. Failure and success is in your hands. But we also have to do these things. You have to do them, we have to do them, putting up the very best effort in intense sincerity. It's so pleasant to be deluded and to be surprised and to be flabbergasted. All these things are very pleasant and necessary. But if we were not pleased, if we had detected that you are making enormous mistakes or failures, I would have told you before. We have to look upon this as a long-term contract between you and us. Your cooperation is so very urgently needed. If we develop these techniques, we shall have taken long strides, because what we can do is just this much: indicate the formula and the method, but we understand how much labor, application, patience, it involves to get into operative focus. We have full realization of how much you have to work, so our plans are definite. We feel that you must put in some real effort. We shall cooperate, but your will has to exert itself. On a long-term basis, together we shall achieve some wonders, capital W. So, go in full trust and in full hope towards us and more towards yourself, that these things definitely come out, and no matter what other things happen, they will only help the cause. The major aspect of this type of work, which you have felt already for several years and you have a ripe view of it, although you may not perhaps feel so. But if you will begin to think, idea it, and put it down, you will produce something remarkably valuable. So go ahead and do that as quickly as possible. What you have been groping toward with some real certainty was that there must be a parapsychological dimension that can throw definite floodlights on the new horizons of science. App, yes, that is the idea I started out with some time ago. We know. That is what we have proved to you, perhaps for the first time, in a manifold, simple, lucid, and condensing manner. In case you have questions in reference to this mantric method, the certainty of the presence of which you had known that there must be a way, a parapsychological way, which can lead us to wider horizons of science. And if parapsychological knowledge will not help that way, what good on earth is it? Parapsychology, if you want to accept it as a science, has to be impersonal. It has to be methodological, it has to achieve an increment in human knowledge, it has to give really the right lead to the present human mind. App, by the lead you mean the direction man has to take in his evolutionary course at this particular stage in his development? Yes. You see, as we will progress, we shall tell you why war-mindedness is generated, why it is fostered. Obviously, how war-mindedness could be counteracted without propaganda and the threat method and the mutual competitive method. For instance, we might tell you how atomic explosions, even when they are produced, can be silenced. We don't have a counter-atomic weapon to fight with, but no atomic weapon will ever have any effect. We'll silence the atomic weapons of the world. Whoever produces them, they will have no effect. Let them go on producing. You see, just as sound could be produced, it could also be silenced, just as light could be burned, it could be extinguished. The method of production is the method of destruction obversely applied. There is a kind of immunity, physical immunity, just as there is an immunity from diseases. Matter has potential for counteracting almost anything that has taken shape. So, supposing we manufacture a silencer of atom bombs, and one silencer would be enough, let Russia go ahead producing atom bombs in endless quantity. The silencer won't permit it to have any action within, say, what is the world's diameter? App, the circumference of the world is about 25,000 miles at the equator. Circumference is better. Oh dear, 25,000 miles is nothing. We can protect 25,000 miles like we can protect a fly. If 1 million atom bombs exploded, they can't touch 25,000 miles. App, that is a staggering concept to our limited imagination. Yes, it certainly is. App, is the atom bomb a real threat to the world peace? In the sense in which you have just described it, it doesn't seem to be any threat at all should you so choose to deflect its energies, or silence its energies. I think I must tell you this, that it's not going to happen. The world is not going to be allowed to be atomized. The fear is there, the threat is there. Human nature is so wretched today. But on the other hand, human nature is so beautiful also, so sacrificing, so understanding. What we have really to fear is not only the fear itself but the tendency to regiment. That's why the Russian approach to world problems is not acceptable to the scheme of things, to ourselves, for instance, because it regiments. There is an element of regimentation in all evolutionary processes, but it is the degree that is unfortunate over there in Russia. Regimentation that insults human will, that we cannot ever associate ourselves with. But everything else, we don't mind. So precisely our plan is set. In our scheme, we also go on experimenting. We have to experiment in a sense that we never force any will that we get. The wills of humans have to lend themselves. In that lies their growth and maturation. We go to the limit of persuasion, but there we have to stop. Our persuasion is quite often very effective. But we must notice the limit. If it is resistive, we just leave it alone. We don't force in our scheme of things. These forces, principles and personalities, we have to get them into direct service to mankind. We appreciate the desire in you to catalyze this power for serving the man. We have no access to the human world. We have manufactured this body, Vinod, for our work, atom by atom. We have got it to travel across fantastic spaces, but lest we get confused, there is one thing which we slightly hinted at yesterday, which is this. The sort of teleology which is active and this work is not exactly the human purpose way. It is like the implications of laws, it is teleology in a very mysterious sense. Though M and CH are responsible for the idea that you got, it is not to say that you had nothing to do with it. We are terribly happy to note your attitude. We also are very discriminate. We are not putting an idea on barren rock. Our side of the problem is very pathetic, if you will permit me that word. We don't come across wills, points, foci, where without offending their freedom we could do our work. It is not easy. As we reported to you, we can achieve an extraordinary amount of conditioning, but we cannot plant a foreign urge to anyone. That is the way evolution works in regarding the wills of individuals. Unless that is done, there is no growth. If I act for you, if I sort of give you dates, or give you money by precipitation, that can be done, you don't do anything, it is we who do it. We don't want to do that thing, all that has to be done is really by you. Although very strange occasions arise when you rightly feel that there is not the guidance in this crucial anxiety or blank wall against, or impasse, or financial stress, absence of human cooperation, if the help didn't come from us in these hours, what good is it? Sometimes it is very clearly felt, and we don't blame, but the tragedy is shared by us. Around the 11th or 12th hour of the night, if the richest person around us wanted instantaneously $5, he can't get it from the bank, All that could be done is to wait until 9 o'clock in the morning. That is what happens with us with far more precision, because he or she can go to the phone and borrow money. We can't borrow human wills, we can't borrow evolutionary processes, impulsions, and we accept these limitations for the fulfillment of the law. It's not that we can't overcome them. What is the sense of the law, the sense of gravitation, if now the table has this times the weight, and 5 minutes later 20 times over? The gravitation law itself gets frustrated. So the laws which we have set in operation, which we illustrate throughout, they might not be offended, but you might. If you care for a little phrase from us, delays are not denials. Patience, that's all. In all great adventures of ideas, the only prayer which we can address to God is grant me patience. Because God will work, to give you the fruits, for that you need not ask. What is the meaning of sense? Unless we understand the import of sense itself, the supersense will not be intelligible to us, and since we have to formulate a basic ideology for our work over here, it is important for us to get a glimpse into the real meaning of sense itself. Related words are absence and nonsense. Nonsense really means sense out of reference. Absence, or the out of sense, away sense, has a reality, but there, too, the emphasis is on normal elements. Supersense is the discovery of the fullness of sense, of the full stature of sense. The important point is this, that the two words of sense and supersense are in no way divided. There is a continuous spectrum. If sense and supersense were two different worlds, there would not be that real flow between the two. It's not crossing the border because the borders do not exist. It is just a rising on the scale. The capacity to react, that is the feature or characteristic mark of sense. If this were absent, the supersense or the infinite itself will never be realized by sense. That is the purpose of evolution. Now, coming to understand the exact meaning of sense itself. It is really the capacity to react. Even physical objects have that capacity of reacting, but the apparent distinction that could be made is that when sense reacts, it has the feeling and experience and knowledge of having the reaction. The whole growth of our nature lies in this, to know how to react and to be wakeful at the moment of performance. App, does this imply conscious awareness of knowing? Self-knowledge, if you like. This piece of knowledge is described as reflective knowledge, that is, to know that we know. Knowledge is sense, it is never a handmade. If this is grasped, it should be clear why supersense, which is the supreme knowing, is itself present in all acts and facts. I have manufactured a word, I will call it subsistentiality, subsistence, the physics of supersense. Just as there are laws for sense, there are also laws for the supersense. An aspect of human consciousness is to produce the pair of the sense and the supersense. It must evidently approach something like the nucleus of the atom, the matrix of high velocities. The equation for that is Z equals X dot zero, where Z is the superconscious, X is the sense. The sense life of a master symbolizes the unity of integer, and by analogy in pair production the electron and positron as resultants of the annihilated individuation. App, is the gamma ray to be thought of an analogy to individuation before it has differentiation into the spectrum of supersense? Right. App, would that be pre-conscious individuation, or highly conscious individuation? The whole gamut of individuations, pre, all the way to the highly intellectualized level where it is annihilated. In masters' lives we have every sense, alert, responsive, even enjoying, but it functions from a different plexus, and the peculiar result being this, that it leaves no trace of sanskara or karmic latency. It creates no seeds for further repetition of the will act. That is the secret of released action. All of us have to learn that. To some extent we have known it. You have known it. Quite a few of us have known it. Peaceful action, action without passion. This is not self-expression as some of your modern educationists have thought it to be, because the so-called self-expression is a process of manifesting the dormant needs or instinct. In a masterly conduct, there is no self-expression, unless you capitalize the S and make self into infinite itself. But there is no point in calling it self-expression, because there is only one way to do it, and all masters will do it the same way. So one master's self-expression. For practical purposes, what is the use of this particular principle? When we act, let us act in terms of not our self-expressing urges, not even in terms of our so-called ideals, but in terms of infinite peace. Infinite, which is the same as peace. But how to do that? Is it just words? No. When we are inspired by peace, our actions are not limited to our own personal aspirations or fulfillments. They are as the terms in a process which lifts us into action. For instance, when we let the law find itself through our thoughts, words, and actions, we act in terms of peace and as inspired by the infinite. How to discover the law? Do we get to it by an analysis of situations? By an understanding of the causes and reason? No. Emphatic no. Though, by all means, these do supply a guiding light on lesser levels of action. We can know the law if an inner tranquility is presented towards its reception. So the process is one of silencing yourself, the exact opposite of endless thirst for articulation to which we are so vulgarly bound. It is not, therefore, the education, but tranquilization, that we should keep in view. A withdrawal, a sanctifying silence, an exposure rather than an education. That is the secret. We, who are dedicated to such, I mean you and we who are dedicated to the law, we must practice this masterly way of life. App, does that mean that if we find tranquility we automatically open the way to the law? That is the first step. To move through every situation in life with equanimity and tranquility. Right, achievement of exposure. You see, we attribute motives to others in terms of our own personal lives. Most often this is ludicrously unjust, and the one who suffers is just ourselves. Because if I slap the ground suspecting a scorpion, which is not there, it's my hand that is going to hurt itself. Most philosophy is like that. Famously, it is the search for the black cat in a dark room which is not there. We do need symbols of law, but let them be symbols and not concepts. For instance, in a tranquilizing attempt, let us use symbols like the nines or the liberated consciousness of mankind. That's all that matters with us, nothing else does. Then we will tranquilize, but if you put more successes in doing this or that, one thing, they never come about, second, even if they come, they are concealed failures, thirdly, they lead us into new shapes of successes, an eternal maze, an ever-receding horizon. How to clean a muddy pool of water? A challengeful problem. You can throw in some other chemical, you can wash the water with waters, you can strain it. But you know the simplest and most scientific way? Leave it alone, and the dirt will sink down to the bottom. Don't fight with your mind. Leave it alone. Then it will reflect law. The full-orbed light of law. This is not difficult. These are not just words. All of you have known this as a matter of fact, but we have to make it the one law of our life. The sense world is a great distraction. Simplifying our ways, eliminating the non-essentials, is so very urgently necessary for those who are sold on big ideas. Asceticism is really a wonderful trait, only this is that it has to be natural. It should not be the result of a fight. That's why I do not insist on your leaving alone smoking or drinking once in a while. It should be left alone by itself. We shouldn't make it into an end, because that involves too much fight, and a useless fight at that. Success means nothing if it is come by that amount of fighting, because the attention itself which we give during the fight builds up a vast attachment to the things we seem to have conquered. They live deep down inside you. So let us expose ourselves to asceticism, renunciation, simplification, withdrawal, tranquilization. But let us expose ourselves, let us not fight into it. It has to come through. It must come. When the dried leaf on the tree just drops down, it doesn't need to be torn away like the green one has to be. Let us do these things under social, official, or external compulsions if they are necessary, but let our hearts not be enthralled by them. Yes. I think in that sense all of us have a far greater challenge than the man who lives simplicity. That is, if we can achieve some degree of tranquility amongst complexity, it is a far greater test and challenge for us, is it not? It certainly is. So in reference to our program, everything is settled almost. What we have to do is to fight peacefully. To fight peacefully means to strain and struggle in a mood of tranquility. So that's our message to you.